Welcome to Ray and Tay today. It's Friday. Woo!
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray. That's Paul Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and join this busy Friday. We got a fast-paced rocket show, 718-664-9098. Like always, we're everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, rayandtaytoday.com, and the email is rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Ray, tell them quick, we got a special guest today.
Yeah, we got a heavy hitter show, so we're going to be bouncing around. The NBA season's right around the corner. So we're going to get into a little bit of that. We're going to talk about MLB. We've got a World Series commentary. We've got a special guest calling in from Eugene, Oregon, George Reister. He was a former Duck, and he also played in the NFL with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he'll be gonna
maybe
be
we
got to
ask him,
that.
How can he fix the Jaguars?
Wow, that's probably a good question. I mean, I'm sure he's hyped up about the Ducks right now, and he's probably depressed about the Jaguars. So we got a lot to get into it. Let's jump into it.
Well, listen, hey, congrats in baseball to the Nationals. They got their manager. You thought they might give Cal Ripken a look, but they hired Matt Williams, who, you know, played for San Francisco Giants and different teams over the years. Great hitter. Are you surprised that they hired him and not Cal Ripken or gave anybody else a shot?
You know, it's funny because Cal Ripken has been thought of and passed over a couple times. So maybe people are questioning his, you know, ability to just jump right in and manage. Maybe they want to see him manage at the AAA level. I don't know. But Matt Williams has a good reputation about, in the baseball community as a manager. So, no, I wasn't that surprised.
Okay. Well, then NBA,
I saw that they were planning to sign him. I don't know if the deal's been closed yet.
But, yeah, no. They just went with it, so they just got him, yeah. So he's there. Obviously, there's all these NFL trade rumors. You know, Josh Gordon might go. The Niners might be looking to deal for a wide receiver, you know, with the Colts losing Reggie Wayne. So we'll see. The deadline, I believe, is Tuesday. But speaking of the trades, way before the deadline. Way before the deadline, but in the NBA, why don't you tell them what my Phoenix Suns out here, what kind of move they made with the Wizards.
It was a big move. So they ship Marcin Gortat and all these guards, Shannon Brown, Malcolm Lee, and Kendall Marshall, to the Wizards, all for the expiring contract of Emeka Okafor. So some of it is a salary cap move, but you know what? Washington gets
and a draft pick.
And a protected 2014 first-round pick. So Washington gets an immediate impact in a serviceable big man in Marcin Gortat, and your Phoenix Suns get some salary cap relief and a protected first-round pick.
Hey, good for them. They're getting a whole new team. They're trying to get big in the draft next year, but they got rid of Sciola. He went to the Pacers. Now Gortat's gone. That front court, they were both adequate, but not, enough. So I give him credit. We'll see what Eric Bledsoe can do out here with Dragic, and they're trying to, make some moves. And speaking of that, it's a perfect segue to our sort of new segment, Don't Sleep on Him, which we're going to go through in a couple of minutes after we get to this World Series. But, yeah, that's going to be a good one for basketball. Don't sleep on him. So speaking of not sleep on him, did we sleep on Waka? The Red Sox and Cardinals are 1-1. You know, Lester did his thing that people have brought up whether or not he had some stuff to, help him with the ball and whether it was Vaseline or something to grip it or pine tar.
No.
Look, this happens. It happens. But the question is, though, both, with the series going 2-3-2, which in both sports, basketball's changing and I hate it. I don't like it in baseball. I just think it puts an unfair advantage towards the Red Sox. I think the Cardinals, even though they split, it's really going to be difficult to win three in a row in St. Louis. What are you thinking for Game 3, and what do you think about last night's win as the Cardinals, 4-2, tie up the series?
I tell you what, Waka is unbelievable. He's 22 years old. I mean, everybody that pitched in the game yesterday was under 23 years old. So Rosenthal and Waka. These guys are unbelievable. And this kid, from the second half of the season on, has been the best pitcher in all of baseball. I mean, he's 4-0 in the playoffs with a 1 ERA. He made one bad pitch on a 3-2 count to Ortiz, who put him over the wall. But other than that, he's been basically unhittable, throwing 98. And this guy's unreal. And I wouldn't want to see him at the end of the series. I mean, the guy beat Clayton Kershaw twice. And we think almost unanimously that this guy is the best pitcher in the game, and he's going to win Cy Young in the National League. So this kid, Waka, is the real deal. I love the way this series is shaping up. You know, we talked about this off air. Everybody in this series can pitch, and so the two games have been decided by miscues on defense. And
yeah,
so two
it's important.
Solid teams made some errors, and that one big, what is that, the seventh inning for the Red Sox, they just threw the ball around the park, and St. Louis took advantage and scored two runs, and Beltran playing with the hurt rib. So,
yeah.
Look, I think it's shaping up to be a 6 or 7 game series. And then you got Peavy and Kelly on Saturday, Buchholz and Lynn on Sunday, and Lester and Wainwright on Monday. So you got to think that the Cardinals probably win one or two of those games. So this series, I just want to see this series go back to Boston. I want to see.
Do you trust Peavy? I'm not sure if I trust Peavy. He seems
I don't
to.
Know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I picked before the series, I said that the starting pitching for the Cardinals, to me, is the edge. And their clutch hitting, but the starting pitching is the edge why I think the Cardinals win in seven. But, you know, all they need to do is I think, win two out of three, and then they put Boston on their heels for a game six in Boston.
Well, consider this, though. With the DH in the National League, the pitchers will bat. And I think, you know, there will be a disadvantage, right, because either Ortiz or Napoli will come off the bench as a pitch hitter.
They're saying Ortiz is going to play first, and Napoli
right, so Napoli will
pitch.
Right, and so that's a good advantage for when you're doing switches in the National League park for your pitchers. Then they've got a great bat off the bench. You can also pinch hit for Ortiz or, you know, put in a runner if he gets in scoring position, you know, all the different strategy that plays out in the National League parks. So do you think that gives Boston a disadvantage, losing a big bat like Ortiz or Napoli and
sure.
In this game, Napoli?
Well, I think any American League team that loses their DH and a DH that's that critical – is a big disadvantage. So what they're going to do is they're not going to lose technically the DH because in every World Series, Poppy's played first base, but they're going to lose like Napoli's bat. They want Celso Amaki back there catching, and then they prefer not to put him back there catching. So they're going to lose the big bat of Napoli. I mean, he'll probably get one at bat a game, or maybe he'll stay in the game. But ultimately, they lose two or three Mike Napoli at bats, which is a big deal.
No. Listen, it could be risky. I still think, you know, look, I think if the Red Sox will be fine if they get one of these two, I think they might be able to steal two of them. It's just one of these series, sort of like how you joke about the Cowboys, win one, lose one. This series could go back and forth night to night because it's really about, you know, how the clutch hitting matches up with the relief pitchers, depending on how the starters do. If the starters, you know, hold 5, 6, 7 innings, then it's all about the timely hitting against the relief pitchers. And these teams are pretty much evenly matched. I mean, it's a great series. This is going to be one. This is going to go down as one of the best World Series. I'm telling you, it's got to go 6 or 7.
Yeah, I have that feeling. Why not? We need some good entertainment.
Oh, yeah, listen. Listen, oh, and I got to tell you, man, Willie Beeman is still holding on to his Red Sox pick, you know. So I've been watching with him in the hospital, and he's got the Red Sox of 7, man. So, you know.
Okay, all right. Well, you know what's interesting also? Go ahead.
No, tell me.
No, I was going to say what you said before. How cool would it be Halloween night, game 7 in Boston on Thursday? You know, next Thursday. I think that would be cool.
You know what? We just might be trick-or-treating in Fenway Park off the Green Monster. Is it a trick or a treat? That's going to be crazy. So let's get into it, man. Before we get George on and we talk some college football, let's talk about a new segment. Ray and Tay have got great segments. Thank you for supporting them and requesting them. Champs and Chumps, I'm sorry, you're not ready, you know, stuff like that. Well, we got one called Don't Sleep on Him. So basically we're projecting – you know, players. It could be teams, but really it's not about teams. It's players, where we're saying specific players, and for this upcoming NBA season, 13-14 season, players not to sleep on that you might not think are going to be, you know, maybe they were new teams or just, you know, second, third-year guys or veterans that might be time to step up. I'm going to let you slide up first. Who's your first guy? We're going to go quick, fast, sort of hard-hitting. Tell me, who should I not sleep on, Ray?
All right, well, I'm going to start with the big man. And you shouldn't sleep on Enes Kanter, the center from Utah. He's going to step up, and he's going to show why everybody loved his raw athletic, you know, talent. He's young. He's long. And you know what? Utah, without Al Jefferson, has cleared up a lot of room in the middle for him. And now it's time to step up. And so I look for your boy Enes Kanter to be, especially per 36, you know, per game, for 48 minutes, he's got a lot. You know, he'll give you good high percentage from the field. He'll give you rebounds. He'll give you some defensive presence. He'll give you some offense as well. So if you're looking for a center, whether it's in your fantasy draft or whether you need somebody to just kind of keep you busy on the West Coast, a sleeper out there. Look at your boy, Enes Kanter.
All right, I'm a matcher center. I was going to start with my guards, but I'm a matcher center, and I'm going to go with my man, Omer Asik. He is now going to be part of the Houston Twin Towers, like they had Samson and Olajuwon. You got Dwight Howard and Asik. Asik had started these rumors, oh, when Howard got there, I want to get traded. You know, he's got his over 9 rebounds a game. He's solid. I think this year, playing with Howard, both of them being able to pass the ball to each other, and Asik and Howard being able to play some power forward some nights, I think Asik will play backup center, maybe a little bit of them playing together. He might average a double-double. He's up there on block shots. I think Omer Asik from the Houston Rockets is definitely going to be a big, big item for them in the playoffs as they try to battle for a 3-4 or 5 seed. Watch out for the Rockets, but watch out for Omer Asik.
All right,
don't
keep
sleep
it going. My forward, I got Tristan Thompson from the Cleveland Cavs. Now, you think they signed Bennett, and so you figure that he might get some of his minutes in the front court taken, maybe. But the kid has figured out how to shoot, right? He was playing around shooting lefty, shooting righty, figuring it out. But he had a great second half of the season. He finished the year shooting 60% from the field. I think he's a guy that's going to give you close to 10 rebounds a game, and maybe he might even up his scoring average to 14-15 a game. So I like Tristan Thompson. He's young. He's athletic. He's Canadian. You know, got to get some love to the Canadians. So, yeah, he's still kind of thin. He's still only about 230 at 6'9". But Tristan Thompson, look for him to have a great breakout season.
I feel you on that one. I think Bennett, we'll see, the combination of them should really help the Cavs and our boy being healthy, the big man. So, Varejao, I'm going to go another big guy, and I'm going with my man, Andre Drummond from UConn with the Detroit Pistons.
Okay.
Look, last year, you know, him and Monroe started to dominate towards the end of the season, the last 20 games. You know, they were both putting up some monster points, like, you know, and rebounds. He gets over 10 a game. I think what Drummond you're going to get from him is he's starting to get some post moves. He's starting to get an offensive game. And playing with such a skilled big man in Monroe at the four, it's really going to help them with Josh Smith. You got Chauncey Billups. You got my boy, the guard, Brandon Jennings. The Detroit Pistons, not only will they make the playoffs, but Drummond will be – he'll solidify the center. I think he's going to get a double-double. Look for him to maybe get anywhere from maybe a little bit lower, but like 9 to 12 points a game, give you 10, 11 rebounds. Andre Drummond is my guy at the probably at the 4 or 5 saying don't sleep on him.
Okay. Here's a guy that you might sleep on, not you, because I know your NBA game is tight, but this cat was traded in the middle of the season last year from Milwaukee to Orlando, Tobias Harris.
Tobias.
Don't sleep on Tobias Harris. When he got to Orlando, he put up 17 a game, like really quietly. He was only averaging 5 a game in Milwaukee. And then for the last 27 games in Orlando was putting up some decent numbers, 17 and 8.5 rebounds a game. So this kid is a you know, his game is solid. It's you know, people expected him as to be a decent NBA prospect, and I think in Orlando he's going to have the freedom to do his own thing. And you know, Victor Oladipo is going to get a lot of the press, but to me, Tobias Harris is the most complete player on that team. So look for Tobias Harris to continue scoring in the mid-teens, grabbing, you know, 7, 8, 9 rebounds. I mean, this guy is legit. I mean, he could make an outside run for an all-star spot.
Okay.
You know, a reserve all-star spot needs.
Well, I'm not mad at you with that. And in the West, I got a guy who's moved from Sacramento down to being a how many Pelicans are out there peddling. I'm talking about Tariq Evans. He's started off his career amazing, giving you like 25-5. Well, the last couple of years, his shooting percentage is going down. The Kings have been messing around with him, not knowing if he's a 1, 2, or 3. I think in New Orleans with Rivers, Gordon, and now Drew Holiday, Tariq Evans will play a little 2-3, and he will shine with this team. Anthony Davis is going to be, you know, over 20-something a game. Evans could be the second or third scorer in this team, depending on Gordon's health. I think Tariq Evans and the Pelicans surprised everybody, make a playoff run, maybe get into that eighth spot. The West is loaded. There's 12 teams fighting for 8 spots, and I think you're going to have to watch Tariq Evans and the Pelicans, because what Tariq Evans has – now he has talent around him. He can blend in, penetrate, dish, get you some rebounds, get you some points, assists. I love Tariq Evans, so don't sleep on him.
Okay. Don't sleep on this guy that came out as a sophomore from UConn and was drafted by the Rockets and then was traded in the James Harden deal to Oklahoma City. Only gave you 3 points a game last year. Didn't play that much. Only played in 23 games or so. My man, Jeremy Lamb, the lanky 6'5".
Oh, Lamb.
So I think that Jeremy Lamb is going to give you some production this year. Now, you know that Westbrook's going to be out for probably a quarter of the season. You know Durant is the man on that team. So you got to figure that Lamb can come off the bench, give you some quality minutes at the 2 or the 3, can give you some offense punch like he gave you in UConn, and he's definitely going to get that 3 points a game up. So I look for him to hit double digits in points and really step up. This really should be his senior year in college if you think about it. So I like Jeremy Lamb on a bounce back. You know,
and he was amazing in the summer league, which Tay was watching. He was amazing in the summer league. So, All right, look, I'm a match with Jeremy Lamb. I'm going to go with a Dookie, 4-year Dookie, one of the best 3-point shooters in college and so far in the NBA in his career, normally about 12 points a game, but he's a sharpshooter. He's now with the Clippers. It's J.J. Redick. And I'm a Tar Heel, so you know it's hard for me to give any Dookies love. But Redick with Chris Paul, with Doc Rivers as the coach, the inside game of Griffin and Jordan, and you've got Crawford off the bench as the sixth man. I think Redick will probably start at the 2. He's going to be really nasty. I think he might even get up to like 15 points a game. But between Crawford and J.J. Redick, this team is going to be deep. And the Clippers, they might wind up with the number 1 or number 2 seed just because of the fact that OKC having injuries, and we'll see what happens with the Spurs. In the, you know. But I'm going to tell you right now, watch out for J.J. Redick. Do not sleep on him.
Okay, last one for me. My guard, my point guard, even though he's not a true point guard, I do think he's going to put up stats because that Milwaukee backcourt has got a lot of holes in it. Now, they don't have any scoring now that Brandon Knight's gone and Monte Ellis. So I look for my man, who I didn't really love coming into the NBA, but you know what? He's growing on me as a steady, solid, you know, kind of combo guard. Brandon Knight played that 1 year at Kentucky and then gives you 2 years in Detroit. Now he's going to find himself in Milwaukee. Only averaged 13-4, but he did average three rebounds a game. I think his numbers are going to improve across the board because they're going to need him in Milwaukee to score and to create for others. So, you know, he's got Ilyasova and Sanders in the front court, so those aren't great scoring options. But Brandon Knight's going to have a lot of pressure on him to deliver, and I think he will. I think he'll up his average and he'll up his assists and even up his rebounds. So as a stat stuffer, you know, a junior Tyreek Evans stat stuffer kind of guy, I like Brandon Knight.
All right, my last guy. You know, I went a little unconventional, just went with guards, not point or shooting or forward or center. But I got this guy right here. He was nasty in the summer league. He's from the Cuse. Shout out to my Syracuse fans. I'm my boy Fish, Deion Waiters. Deion Waiters came in, you know, first year he was pretty good, you know, had some, you know, him and Kyrie Irving, they didn't both, you know, stay healthy the whole season and play together all the time. But Deion Waiters dropped about 15 a game. I think what you're going to see now is maybe the best backcourt in the NBA. And I think Deion Waiters is going to be close to dropping 20 a game with Kyrie Irving. Maybe 18, might be a little aggressive with the 20, but Deion Waiters is going to be nasty at the two, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are easily going to be the number six seed in the NBA. Watch out for the Wizards right on their tail at seven, probably Detroit at eight. But
East.
I'm telling you, in the East. No, but I'm telling you, Deion Waiters, don't sleep on him. That's my guy right there for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Him and Kyrie Irving.
Okay. All right. Well, we got our friend of the show, George Reitzer. He's running a little bit late, so he's going to call in when he's able to do that. He's calling us from Eugene, so we appreciate the on-the-ground love that he's giving us, because number 12, UCLA, is playing against number 3, Oregon, in Eugene. So he'll be with us momentarily. But until he gets to the show, let's talk a little bit about college. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on this weekend.
Well, look, this – we got some other games that are jumping off, and I think this one right here to me is really interesting. Number 10, Texas Tech, and number 15, Oklahoma. This is the type of game where you get to see if this Texas Tech team is real, because let's be honest, nobody had them in their top 10 before the season. Even when Charles Davis, who's the guru of college football on our preview show, he, you know, mentioned Baylor and other teams, he didn't even really mention Texas Tech. I think that, you know, they've got their talent. You like the way they score, but I want to know defensively, can Texas Tech, I guess that's my question to you, can Texas Tech sort of really hold, you know, bring in and stop what Oklahoma does? Because we saw Oklahoma against Notre Dame. We picked it. You know, Bell quarterbacking, he's got over 1,000 yards. The running back, Clay. Can Texas Tech defense slow down Oklahoma's offense? What do you think about that?
Well, you know what? I think more importantly, can Oklahoma's defense slow down Texas Tech's offense? Texas Tech is number 6 in the country in offense. So I actually, look,
they're
this
explosive.
Team came out of nowhere from a top 25 perspective, you know, and everybody kind of disses the Big 12, but they're 4-0 in the Big 12, 7-0 overall. I think that they're going to give Oklahoma a run for the money. I think they could even win this game. The game.
So you like Mayfield, the quarterback Mayfield?
Yeah, I like this whole offense. I think this whole offense is rolling. I mean, you got Mayfield and Webb, you know, and then you've got
Williams.
Williams, Washington. I mean, they got 10 touchdowns, 10 rushing touchdowns between the two of them, 20 touchdowns from the quarterback. So, you know what? Let's go out on a limb. Let's say.
What's your score?
Goes in and upsets them. I'll go with 27-24 Texas Tech.
Wow. Now, see, they're a Big 12 team. And they're, you know, they're solid, and, you know, this is a way for the Big 12 to show off maybe two of their best teams potentially with Baylor as well, 10 and 15. I think Oklahoma's at home. They're 3-1 in the conference. Like you said, Texas Tech is 4-0. I think for some reason Oklahoma might have a little bit more size than offensive and defensive line. I just think for some reason Clay and Bell for Oklahoma, the quarterback Bell, is just for some reason I just think Oklahoma is going to sort of upset Texas Tech. And, you know, might not be an upset with the it is upset with the rankings, but not with the home. But Oklahoma wins 28-26.
All right, let me ask you a question. Is Missouri for real? And can Missouri at number 5, when they jumped up from 14 to 5 last week by beating 22 Florida, can they hold their own as the old ball coach in South Carolina comes down to Columbia, Missouri, and, you know, South Carolina really needs this game. South Carolina,
this is their season.
If they lose this game, yeah. I mean, they'll still go to a decent bowl game, but they won't be considered an elite team. They drop to 5-3, 3-3 in the SEC. So a lot of pressure on South Carolina.
And Clowney.
What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's so funny. Look, the Missouri quarterback, when Franklin went down, the backup quarterback has just stepped up and filled right in.
Matty Mock!
Yo, he's been balling out. I like the South Carolina team. I like the coach. You know, Clowney has, you know, been down a couple games and then, you know, started to show up a little bit last week. But if I'm being honest, I think Missouri is just so fast, and they've got the confidence now. I think Missouri smacks South Carolina. I think at home this time, not Road Warriors winning at Georgia, Missouri, who's 3-0 in SEC, 7-0, and South Carolina 5-2 and 3-2 in conference, I got to go with Missouri. I just think, you know, right now, the way that they're playing, you know, the running back, Josie, you know, they got the fast receivers. I got Missouri winning 27-23 over South Carolina. Number 21 drops out of the top 25. I got to kick him out of the top 25.
It's funny because I can't see South Carolina, you know, losing this game, but they're probably going to have a backup quarterback also. Shaw's probably going to be
out. Yeah, Shaw's been banged up.
Dylan Thompson's probably going to start this game. And I don't know if you can win in Columbia, even though Matty Mock's a freshman too. But I feel like this guy's you know, highly touted high school kid. I think I have to agree with you. Even though beginning of the week I would have said for sure South Carolina, even on the road, but now with the uncertainty at quarterback, I think you're right. I think Missouri holds on, and I think they win this game. I think they win 24-21.
Oof. Okay. So the other game, before we see if George calls in, I know he's busy in Eugene. This is another sort of huge game. 25, Oregon State is hosting number 6, Stanford. Now, Stanford bounced back big. We both predicted it. I thought they would. You know, Coach David Shaw, they got a solid program. They're still going to play Oregon next week, which is going to be another huge matchup, especially if Oregon wins and Stanford wins. BCS respects Stanford. They're up there high. I think Stanford goes to Oregon State, and I just think Hogan just develops more and more and can get these wins in the Pac-12 on the road. And I think Stanford defensively starts to wake up, and I think that they take it to Oregon State. And I think they win 30-20. There's going to be some points, but I think they make a couple of big defensive stops.
Yeah, I like Stanford big in this game. I think Stanford really needs this game. You could argue it's a little bit of a trap game in the sense that they've got on a Thursday night national TV, they've got Oregon after this. But I don't think Coach David Shaw, who was a friend of the show, check out his episode. He did a preview of the Stanford season. We had a great time talking to him about his program and what he's been doing at Stanford. And I think that he'll have them ready because he knows that he's the highest-rated one-loss team in the BCS. So he's got a very good chance of, you know, taking on an Oregon team with one loss. If he were to win that game, he's still – you know, he vaults himself back into the national championship picture. And I think that that's going to be the goal, right? But in order to get there, you need to win. So I think they win, and I think they win big. I think they win something like 33-17. I like Stanford's big win here.
Ooh, okay. So hopefully we hear from George soon. When we talk about this game, and Oregon, you know, and I guess, you know, we could, you know, really address, you know, we addressed it on Monday show with the BCS. Obviously, you know, Florida State is ahead of Oregon, but that could change just because Oregon's strength of schedule is going to jump up, you know, playing obviously 12 UCLA and then next week against Stanford. Can the UCLA Bruins, are they ready? That would be the question, right? Are they ready to step up and go to Eugene and do something?
Well,
I mean, we got to talk to George about this. I almost feel guilty starting to talk about it. You know what I really want to ask you? Can the Maryland Terrapins upset Clemson when they come into College Park? That's what
no.
I want. Yo, Terps!
Negative. Negative.
Tosh Boyd.
They cannot.
2 weeks in a row. No, our
negative.
Quarterback,
Tosh,
you know. Once our quarterback went down.
All of his frustrations on those Terps. But look, everybody's going to be and I want to ask George this, but everybody's going to be focusing on Hundley and Mariota. And that's going to be the interesting matchup that everybody's going to want to talk about. But you know what? At the end of the day.
That linebacker for UCLA is a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast. And the question is, can that UCLA, front seven slow down this unbelievable Oregon offense? I mean, Oregon is averaging some ridiculous number of yards, like almost 645 yards a game, second in the nation. I mean, these guys, and they run and they pass equally well, right? I think they average over 300 yards rushing and 300 yards passing. So they really have this up-tempo offense that Chip Kelly installed, 5 or 6 years ago, just humming. So I think that in order to beat Oregon, you either have to play ball control, limit the number of possessions, so sort of like the Giants of the 80s, or you just have to be able to outscore them and just get in a shootout and whoever has the ball last. I don't think UCLA can do either, frankly. So I think this is going to be a situation where UCLA is going to be a little outmanned on offense, and their defense isn't going to be enough. They're not going to be able to do enough to slow down Oregon. So I think Oregon still puts up a lot of points, and I don't think UCLA can match them.
Well, one thing that you got to consider, I mean, look, Huff is getting busy for Oregon. We know Mariota. Marshall stepped in for DeAnthony Thomas, and he's been
light. DeAnthony Thomas is going to be back.
Oh, he is going to play. Okay, because Marshall's got over 746 yards. I mean, Marshall has been killing it. So you got Marshall and Thomas, and that's what Oregon does. They have, multiple backs that are solid. And Mariota, he's already got over 2,000 yards passing. That's incredible. Hundley has dropped back. I mean, people are saying, Mel Kiper and the guys are basically saying that Hundley is sort of the third prospect behind Teddy Bridgewater and Mariota. And this is the type of game where either Hundley can make his name or Mariota can not only win the Heisman in this week and next week, but he could definitely, lift up his draft stock. Mariota does not play in a traditional offense for the NFL, but you know what? The NFL is not traditional anymore. Mariota is exactly the type of quarterback that we're seeing in a lot of these different teams. So I think you're right. I think Mariota is going to – I mean, he could throw for easy 350. The UCLA defense, obviously their star linebacker, which is, maybe a top five pick, Barr, I mean, they're going to be solid. I mean, I'm talking like 34-28, Oregon probably.
Really?
Easily, because what happens is the Ducks, man, I think that speed wears you down.
I got Oregon 41-24. I got Oregon just putting up too many points.
Ooh, you had to throw a 40 burger up on me, huh?
Yeah, I threw a 4 spot on it because they score so quickly. Their 41 points could take like 12 minutes of, game time, right? So Oregon's the team that could lose time of possession and beat you by 20.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's that simple. I mean, they're a dominating offense at this point. That offense, it's going to go down as one of probably the top college offenses in an era. You know what I mean? I can easily see that happening, and what can you say? All right. Well, why don't we start talking about
NFL talk?
I was going to say that. Honey, let me throw in a little beat for us. We got a little transition. Let's get a little jazzy, baby. Ray and Tay, we'll be right back with the NFL.
Back after that smooth jazz beat by another guest of the show, Michael Powers. Thank you to him for giving us the rights to that jazz
Yeah.
Cool. I love it.
Got to support him, too. I think it's michaelpowersmusic.com, if I remember correctly. So we shout out to Michael Powers, man. We'll have to get him back on. His Seahawks are looking good.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Speaking of looking good, Thursday Night Football, Ray. Wow. Did you know, and Cam Newton is the first and only to have over 20 rushing touchdowns and over, I think, 50 passing touchdowns in his first 3 years of the NFL, and this third season is not even over yet? That's ridiculous. Cam.
Cam. But that's what's so ridiculous about Cam is he's so physically talented. You want him to have the same kind of results as Andrew Luck, as RG3, in terms of wins and losses, as Russell Wilson. Because you're thinking to yourself, this guy is big, strong, can run, can pass, and you're thinking to yourself, he's got it. He's like the physical prototype. I mean, if you think about it, he is the prototype, right? RG3 is a little too skinny. Russell Wilson's a little too short. Maybe he and Andrew Luck are like the two prototype, next generation quarterbacks. So when he wins, you think to yourself, he should be winning more. You think to yourself, these guys are deep. Now, they've won 4 in a row, so good for them. They're now 4-3. Look, the Bucs are barely an NFL team, right? Between the MRSA and between all the craziness that's been happening, getting rid of Josh Freeman and whatever, they're terrible.
I think it might be time to let somebody go going into the bye week.
Yeah,
I hate to call for a man's job, but it's ugly.
Paid, so don't worry about it. Yeah.
Right. But don't you think he's losing the locker room? Look, I mean, they make a good point. Even Deion and the boys were saying that, they got our boy, Darrell Revis, playing a lot of zone when, he's looking better than ever. He was locking down my man Steve Smith in fantasy, when he played man. And so they're not even using their strengths with the defense that they have, McCoy and the secondary is solid. I mean, they're not even taking advantage of the skills and the players that they have. I mean, look,
and that's even more disappointing. Disappointing. You're 100% right, because Drake shadows the defensive coach, right? It'd be one thing if you had Don Coryell and he was just worried about the offense, but Shiano's a defensive guy, so you would think that he would know how to get the most out of his players. And why pay Darrell Revis $16 million a year if you know you're not going to play him man and take advantage of his Revis Island, which allows you to play 10 players on the other side of the island? So
Blitz more. You can blitz more when you do that. So George will be with us in about 3 to 5 minutes. He just hit me up. So, look, the Panthers, there's not much to say about yesterday. They spanked them, did what they did. I think it was, 31-13, Tampa Bay, just a mess. Let's look forward. We got some, not great games this week, but one of the interesting battles is the battle of who could be the best wide receiver. We had it last week with A.J. Green and Megatron, Calvin Johnson. Well, this week, Ray's Dallas Cowboys, who I picked to win. They're going on the road at Detroit, the Lions, and Megatron against Dez Bryant. What do you like in this game, man? Who you picking, and what do you think about the wide receiver matchup?
Oh, man, that's a great matchup. Look, I think Megatron's on a different planet. Dez Bryant is on the adjacent planet, but he's not quite there. I mean, he's just physically I don't think we'll ever have a receiver like Calvin Johnson physically. In terms of 6'5", built like he is, running 4.3 40s, he's unbelievable. And so he's the best. But Dez Bryant is very close on his heels, right, when he's healthy and when Romo, has time and finds him. So I think that in that respect, this is a great, great display of receivers. Now, remember, I'm a Cowboy fan, but I'm also somewhere a realist. So win one, lose one. So I actually think that the Lions, who have lost a few games here, I think the Lions hold serve at home, and they actually win this game. Dallas is really banged up on defense. Dallas can't run the ball. So even though they ran a lot, they didn't run for many yards. They're averaging less than 3 yards a carry. And so, Tanner and all these guys, I mean, ever since DeMarco Murray went down, even when DeMarco Murray was playing, he had one or two good games. So
yeah, your boy Joseph Randall.
Dallas can't run. Yeah, Randall and Tanner, they won't be able to run very much, especially against that front four that the Lions have. I think the Lions offense is going to get its stride back The Lions are going to figure out how to get Reggie Bush involved early. And the Dallas defense, which is banged up, is not going to be able to hold up. So I like the Lions in this matchup.
Okay. What's the score, man?
No, I don't love giving you scores, man. But
I do scores every week. Even the fans are like, yo, Ray, where's your score, man?
You know, I don't love it, though. All right, but I like the Lions. I like the Lions in this game, 27-24.
Well, real quick, I got to kind of agree with you. And Reggie Bush, I think he practiced today, so he's been a little banged up. And, you know, Megatron's been banged up. Miles Austin might come back, but Terrence Williams is sort of the man for you guys. I think it's going to be sort of, you know, not much of a defensive game. I think in the Dome, the offenses go back and forth with the Cowboys' defense being banged up this week, unlike the Cowboy-Eagle game, 17-3. I think you're right. I think the Lions pull one out here. I think they win 30-28 over the Cowboys, and it's going to be very entertaining, if nothing else. I think, you know, it'll be a very, you know, entertaining game. So that's, I'm going with the Lions too, you know. I normally,
okay,
you know, I've been riding the Cowboys for a bit, but I think you're right. I think the Lions do enough defensively. So.
All right. Let's move on to another game, Washington at Denver. What do you think about that game where it's just got, you know, Washington's season was
DC,
in the balance.
Stand up.
And Denver got their first loss. So both teams, you know, need this, you know, want this win pretty badly.
You know, I got to say, Manning was a little banged up, so he's been a little hurt. You know, he finally showed up on
Although
the injured list a little
fine.
Bit.
Yeah,
he's going to be fine. You know, just slow down a little. You know, when you really look at it, I just think the Washington defense, Manning is eating up the NFC East this year, okay? And I think he will continue to eat them. He's been putting 40s and 50s up on that division, NFC East, and I don't see why he would stop for these guys. So, but I think RG3 and the Redskins are warming up. I think they're starting to get it going. Their only chance of winning is if, you know, Morris can really just, you know, two touchdowns, 150 yards, and it's a chance. You know, been rumors of Von Miller coming back, rumors of maybe trading him, who knows. I don't think they should do that. But I'll go with Manning and the pinball offense at home beating RG3 and the Redskins in a very entertaining game. You know, RG3 steps up to battle Manning. Let's – no 40 burgers. Let's go 35-30, Denver. Peyton Manning wins again.
Well, I like everything you said. I think that at the end of the day, Washington saved their season last week by beating the Bears in a shootout. And I think they're going to have to do the same thing here if they have a chance to win in Denver, because you know Denver's going to put up 35. So let's just say Denver puts up 38 on that defense. They might put on a 40, but I'll say 38. That means that Washington Redskins have to go 39 to win that game, and I don't think they do that. So I think they win 38-30, the Broncos do. And the Broncos go right back to where they left off and go to 7-1.
Okay. So how about the Jets, man? We're talking J-E-T-S, another one of your teams that's been playing good, going to the Cincinnati Bengals. These are both winning. This is like one of the only games with two winning records. Winning records this week, you know. So this is actually a great game. I got to tell you a funny story. One of the nurses that's taking care of William in the hospital, she's going to the game. She was also at that Viking game when the AP lost his son and came back. But she's going to the Bengal game. Their friends have season tickets. So I think the Bengals, you know, I think the Bengals are going to have a hard one here with the Jets. And I'm going to go real quick because we got George with us. I'll go Bengals 26-20 over the Jets.
Yeah, I like the Bengals. I think the Jets ultimately, you know, I predict them to be a sub-500 team. But you know what? They're playing tough. Rex has got them playing well. Defense is always keeping them in games.
Yeah.
Geno's doing enough to win. But yeah, I like the Bengals. I think they're the class of that AFC North at 5-2. So I like them to win this game actually pretty handily. I think the Jets will make a couple second half mistakes. So I think the Bengals win 28-17.
Okay. Well, let's bring George in, man.
You guys go.
Find out.
Hey,
George.
How you doing?
Hey.
Are you out there tailgating already in Eugene or what?
No, I'm actually driving down the 5 as we speak right now. I was in Eugene earlier, saw practice today. I had to go up to Portland for a brief minute, and now on my way back down to Eugene to take a tour of the new facility.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right. What helmets are they wearing this week? They wore the pink ones last week. What are they going with the uniform this week?
I can't tell you. That is G14 classified.
Okay. All right.
That is
G14.
Just know, I will tell you this. Don't expect anything outrageous.
Okay.
I can't tell you that.
Okay. All right, George. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it. Let me ask you something. So we've got, 12 versus 3, right? Heck of a matchup. So everybody's going to be focusing on Hundley and Mariota, for sure, the quarterbacks. But, you dig deeper. You're a football analyst. You're an ex-Duck. You're an ex-NFL player. So you know your stuff. So what should we be looking at, right, besides the quarterback matchup and everybody's going to project, Heisman potential for Mariota and NFL prospect in Hundley and Mariota. But what should we be looking for beyond the quarterback matchup in this game?
Well, I think you need to be looking at UCLA's offensive line. They're starting 3 true freshmen, and Hundley over the last 2 years has been hit, sacked, and pressured more than any quarterback in the whole nation. The only other one, the only person even reasonably close to him is Keith Price. So I think the offensive line matchup is going to be a big deal, whether they can protect Hundley. And also, if UCLA can run the ball, they don't really have a standout running back right now, which is kind of hurting them a little bit. That's another area. And then the last area is, Oregon's going to want to put a lot of pressure on Hundley and stop the running game the way they make them one-dimensional. So we're going to have to see how the matchups work on the outside if Ifre Alumo and Terrence Mitchell, if they can handle themselves one-on-one versus the UCLA wideouts with no help over the top.
Okay, now is DeAnthony Thomas definitely playing?
Man, listen, the answer to that question is absolutely. Barring a catastrophe between now and tomorrow at 4 o'clock, he will be in the lineup. I mean, from all reports, he did have a sprained ankle, but if he even had needed to come back in the Cal game, he probably could have. He would have been a little limited. But for sure the last 2 weeks, he could have played. But there was no need for him to push back early, being that those games were going to be decided regardless. And now every team left on the schedule has a winning record, and including the Pac-12 championship. That's 4 ranked teams that we have to play, possibly 5, depending on what Arizona does. This is really the thick of the schedule.
So, George, just as you were saying right there, with Thomas coming back and the way Marshall has played, that's a pretty strong two-headed monster. He's got over 700 yards rushing this year. Do you think that basically Oregon's speed can run UCLA out of the building? Because when you've got Marshall and Thomas and Mariota, and Mariota's throwing over 2,000 yards, it's incredible. I mean, could they actually blow UCLA out at home?
There is the potential for that if the defense can generate some turnovers. I think that's the only way that you see a blowout. But when you speak about Oregon's team speed versus a lot of other teams and even UCLA's team speed, when you have speed at certain positions like wideout, quarterback, running back, which UCLA has some speed at those positions as well, the difference is when you have speed at linebacker, speed at safety, and the speed at defensive end, so when they're chasing down Hundley, that they can actually catch him as opposed to just flushing him out of the pocket and him running for first downs. I think that when you go to team speed, it's not just at the key positions, that you have to have team speed at the positions that you wouldn't necessarily think is those game-breaking positions.
Right. Do you think Hundley's quarterback stock for the NFL? I mean, obviously, everybody's been saying Teddy Bridgewater, Mariota, and then Hundley. Hundley was, preseason, a lot of hype as an NFL scout, but Do you think maybe it's his offensive line, or is he not having, you know, the greatest season? Or, look, he's got him ranked 12. I mean, where do you see Hundley as in the future in the NFL, and then Mariota as one of these, you know, zone read quarterbacks?
Well, I would really hope that Brett Hundley would stay in school this year. He clearly has pro potential, and a lot of scouts and a lot of coaches think so as well. But he does need to develop a little bit more. When you see his, he's not very accurate when he's throwing the ball on the run or moving just in general. And although he has been pretty good against, like, statistically, completion percentage-wise against the blitz, he still hasn't really stepped up and been able to separate himself and hit some huge plays.
Okay. So, listen, George, we got to put some pressure on you, man. You got to score for us. UCLA against Oregon in Eugene. Does George Rice, you want to give us a score? I know you're going to go to Oregon winning, right?
Well, obviously. and not just because I'm a homer. I mean, even though everybody knows I am a homer. But still, this is just a matchup of a great team versus a good team right now. And for UCLA to win this game, it would be a big statement about what Jim Moore is doing and the direction that he's taking the program. It would do a lot for recruiting as well. But I'm going to have to go. I think Oregon, the weather should be nice. No rain. I think that they're going to get pretty close to their – they're going to be a little under their average, but I am going to put them at 52. I'm going to go 52-24,
52-31.
Wow.
50-burger, George? Okay, on Ray and Tate today, you heard it. George Reister, the alum from the Ducks, a 50-burger, 52.
We had George a couple weeks ago on Tennessee, and they were up 27. You know, they were favored by 27. He said, Oregon's going to take care of it. They'll cover, and they did. So, yeah. Hey, George, real quick. Go ahead. We got you for 30 more seconds. Let's make a quick transition to the NFL. So your Ducks are 7-0, but your Jags are 0-7. So if you
what's it wrong in Jacksonville?
Words of wisdom for our fans in Jacksonville. What do you have to say? How can they get something out of this season? What can they do to get something positive out of this season?
Trade Maurice Jones-Drew away. I would feed him the rock, let him get as many carries and touchdowns as possible, and trade him away before the trade deadline, try to get a second-round draft pick for him. Then I think at that point in time they'll have two number ones, two number twos, and please get a good quarterback.
Wow. Teddy Bridgewater, basically, in Jacksonville? Can you see Bridgewater in Jacksonville?
I'm actually not sure he's going to be the first quarterback taken. If Mariota keeps playing what he's playing and he comes out, I think they're going to be more pressed.
You might be right.
So you're saying Mariota. Okay.
Yeah, and I think that Bridgewater is just – he's a really good quarterback. I think he's up against – good team he's played is Florida in the Sugar Bowl.
Right, exactly. All right, George. Well, thank you, man. And listen, George Reister, he's got 52 points for the Oregon Ducks and a big win against UCLA on Ray and Tate today. Thanks a lot, George, for joining us from Eugene. We appreciate it.
All right, cool. You guys have a good day. Take care.
Take care.
All right, talk to you again
soon.
Thanks a lot,
George. All right, bye-bye. Bye, George. Oh, man, that's great. And you know what I like about that? George could be right in terms of not the necessary the, you know, we all picked Oregon, but about Mariota. Because the tradition, and we'll go into this last game, the Sunday night game, which is not a great game, but the way things are going, these running quarterbacks, and Mariota can run and throw. And when he does, you know, do more of a three-step, five-step drop, he's still pretty accurate. So Mariota could be the pick for the Jaguars, you know, if you want to go with that sort of like a Russell Wilson because Gus Bradley came from Seattle, you know, that could be a good matchup. So not that Bridgewater isn't agile, but he's more in the pocket. So let me ask you this. George, had a blowout. We both had a little bit closer of a game, but either way, Oregon is the pick. We're getting back to the NFL. The Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings Sunday night. I believe Freeman, got hurt a little bit, finally told the team late, so it looks like they're going back to Ponder, which we all know Ray doesn't love. I think he's adequate at best. Green Bay banged up. Thank God, Finley's out of ICU. Is there any way Minnesota can turn their season around and win this game against the Packers at home and a division win?
So the way they do it is they actually just follow the formula they've had the last couple of years. Adrian Peterson has run amok against the Packers. And even when they were healthy and even when they had a top five defense, Adrian Peterson was able to run. Now, I think I was lucky enough to draft number one in two out of my three leagues. And, of course, Adrian
Yes, you were.
Pick. But I believe
he's underused.
I can't question my GM skills. No, I believe.
But he's underused.
But I believe he's more hurt than he's letting on. I believe that this hamstring is he's even said that he's running tentatively on that hamstring. And I believe that he's not as healthy as not being on the injury report would lead you to believe, right? I think he's at 70-80%. So
he's ahead of last year. You know that, right?
Oh, I didn't know that, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were showing the stats, surprisingly enough. Because remember last year, the first two games, the Vikings sort of slowed him down. And he got the 200 yards, like I think week 8 or 9, and started to put up the 200-yard games after week 9 and later. So he's actually statistically a little bit, rushing-wise, a little bit ahead of last year's pace.
But if you look at him, though,
he
doesn't look the same. He doesn't look same. He looks like an above-average runner, but he doesn't look like Adrian Peterson. So that's the way you beat the Broncos. You beat the Packers. I think that you spread the ball around. You get where is Greg Jennings? Greg Jennings is an all-pro wide receiver. Where is he? And not just because I have him on one of my fantasy teams, but Greg Jennings, Kyle Rudolph. You move the chains. Now again, Green Bay is vulnerable because they haven't really established that run. I mean, they've gone through 3-4 running backs.
Eddie Lacy is on my fantasy team. I gotta say, Eddie Lacy's been. He's it, and he's legit, and he's going to run all over Minnesota. I can tell you that. Eddie Lacy's playing ball.
But here's the thing. Green Bay, though, also has a problem on offense, and that's that wide receiver. Everybody is banged up. Now, Rodgers will find you. I mean, he may find you.
Jared Boykin.
And if Jared Boykin's, comes out of the
for
stand,
fantasy,
he's wide
pick
open.
Up Boykin.
Yeah. No, I picked him up in one of my leagues. But look, I think – it's too tough a task for Minnesota. It's possible because they have Adrian Peterson, and anytime you have AP, he could run for 200 and hold the ball, for 37, 38 minutes, keep it away from Rodgers. But I like Green Bay in this game. I can't see Minnesota winning.
What's your score?
Oh, God, I think Green Bay wins 31-20.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty similar. I'll just say I have Green Bay 27-20 over Minnesota. I think sort of what you said, the only way Ponder stays close is, AP all day, get the tight ends, hit Jerome Simpson and Greg Jennings on some, curl patterns. Maybe you get lucky on a couple of posts. You hit Rudolph over the middle and, eat the clock. But I think, Boykin, whoever they throw in there at tight end, maybe James Jones comes back and Jordy Nelson. It's just enough with Aaron Rodgers and Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy gets 120 and a touchdown. So I got to go with the Packers, 27-20 over Minnesota. So, listen, we had a great show. We'll see what might hit you up with a quick show on Monday. But Tuesday is our NBA preview show. So definitely tune in Monday, 6 to 6:30, but Tuesday, 6 o'clock, all NBA, all the time. The season starts this week. Are you ready for some hoops? Because Ray and Tay are going to give it to you. Thanks to George Reister.
Wow.
Great show, man.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Check out our NBA sleepers, Do some homework.
Yep.
Get ready for NBA season starting
for
next week.
For those who are doing the NBA draft. Hey, man, shout out to Ray's brother-in-law is getting married. Congrats. to the Wolf family. So, you know,
oh, yeah.
Wish him well. You know, Mazel Tov, wish him well, and congrats and everything. And, hey, let's shout out. Please continue to pray for my son, William Truth, to get home from the strep pneumonia from the hospital. He's getting a little bit
keep
better.
Strong.
So, keep healing.
Fella.
Keep healing, William. All right, Ray and Tay, thanks for talking sports with friends.
We're out. Have a great weekend.